something that you can keep. Maybe it's a birthday gift. Maybe you enjoy books, and so someone gives you a book, and you can keep that. Keep all sorts of different things. When you go to the library, you don't get to keep the book. You get to what? Borrow it so that you can return it. By the way, praise the Lord for our library we have as a church family. I don't know if you've checked it out or utilized that, but there are all sorts of resources that you can use. We praise the Lord for those donations that have been given, many different books and videos and many different aspects. I know our kids enjoy the books, and we were talking this morning which one went back to the library here. And libraries, you borrow books. And other things in life, we borrow them. But there are some things that are just nice to keep. If you do a certain task and you're working with your hands and certain tools, you just like to own that tool. If you use it enough, it sure is nicer to own it than to keep borrowing it and returning it, and borrowing it and returning it, borrowing it and returning it. Well, as we go in life, there are some things that we need to keep. Now, not just hold on to and cling to that it becomes our own, but that we need to follow. That we need to make our own and do. And in Joshua 22, we see the truth of this, that some of these things have been kept, and that some of these things are told they need to keep them yet. And so this morning we're going to see three different things that we as individuals should keep as we go through our life. Not specifically just our life, but as we go through this week. What are some things that we need to keep in mind so that I do? Because Monday morning's coming. And then Tuesday. And I need to live godly every one of those days of this week. Not just going to church this morning and calling it good. But letting God make a difference in my life. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for this opportunity that we have to worship You. Lord, I do pray that You would speak to us in a special way. That You would use me. That You would give me the words You have for me to say. God, I pray that as we see these things that we need to keep, that You would speak to our hearts. God, if there are some specific areas that we're struggling keeping, that You would help us to make these commitments, to keep them as we go throughout this week. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some things that you and I need to keep as we go through this week. Number one, I need to keep my commitments. Giving our word. We think about that in so many different aspects of life. When you go to purchase a house or a vehicle or so many other things, you have to sign on there. And sign on the line, you are putting your signature on it. But years ago, when you were to go to buy a house, you could shake your hand and say, "That's my word." And your handshake was as good as your word, and your word was as good as gold. We're reminded that you and I need to keep our commitments. That's not always possible. I understand there are some things that come up in life that hinder us and things that we're planning and things just happen and beyond our control. But we need to be very cautious as we give our word then so that we can keep the word that we give. In verses 1 through 9, Joshua commended these 2.5 tribes for what they have kept, the promises that they've kept. The word that was kept. Moses, if you remember, gave them land on the east side of the Jordan River. And as they were given their land, they were told, "You can have this land, but you must come in with your brothers and help conquer the land." And so they said, "We will." And Moses said, "This is your inheritance from God, and you've got that." Here we get in chapter 22, near the end of the book, and Joshua is commending them for keeping their word. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, "Ye have what? Kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you." They kept their commitments. And that's something that isn't easily said of everybody today, but it should be something that's easily said of each of us here. Not because we keep our commitments because we don't want to have a bad name. We don't want God to have a bad name. And as a believer, you and I give our word, we are giving our word, but showing how a Christian lives our life. And here, these 2.5 tribes, they had given their word. And Joshua said, "You have kept your commitments." In order for us to keep our commitments, we need to remember what we promised. Remember what we say. Anybody ever come to you and asked a question and you're like, and they come back later and said, well, you said, and I said, I don't remember. My kids will do that to me while I'm on the phone. They know that I'm a one-track person. And I can talk on the phone and I can agree to something and I have no clue what I just agreed to. And I finally had to come to the conclusion, if I give you permission when I'm on the phone, when I get off the phone, the answer is no. Because I'll find out that I've told them to do something that I specifically already told them, don't do it. Because I'm distracted in that one aspect. When you and I give our word, we need to think through it. That I can keep it and keep my word. You ever had someone give you a promise and they broke it? I remember one as a kid that someone said, hey, we're going to bring you to the zoo and go through this. I remembered that. Now, it didn't bother me today. It doesn't bother me. Those aspects that we give our word. And so we need to keep our promises. We need to remember what our word was. And that's what they've done here. Joshua said, you remembered all that Moses had said, and you kept your commitment for what he said to do, to go in and to fight these battles, to go in and to help conquer this land. Because your word is important. And it is. Jesus said, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. And yes, we need to, if the Lord wills, because there are things that we don't always know or see or understand that God's will differs than what we understand. Life circumstances change and we just didn't plan for that. But my word is important. And Joshua says, good job. You've done good in remembering what you've been told and remembering your commitments that you've made. So keep your commitments. Remember what you promised. But he reminds them as he continues on in this passage that as they remembered their promises, that they remained faithful through the difficult situations of life. They kept their word even when life got tough, when it wasn't easy. Verse 3, ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye. And verse 3 talks about these many days. Some argue that it's even up to 14 years has passed of the conquering of the land and of the distributing of the land that they remained faithful when life got tough. When they went in and they saw God give great victory at Jericho. Then when they went to Ai and they saw defeat. Because of sin in the camp. And yet then God brought victory. As they went city after city, area after area, God gave victory. And they didn't give up because it got tough. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into when I said that. Even at church, be careful how we commit. That we don't overcommit ourselves. I'll do this, I'll do that. I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. I didn't know what it really was. I didn't know what I was committing to. And so we understand there are times we have to change our commitments. When we commit to serve in certain areas, sometimes it's only for certain time periods, and we get those things. But as you and I give our word, I will do that, and then we don't do it. Sometimes, maybe never even with the intention of doing it. The Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave their word, and they remained faithful even when the difficult things happened. The years of battle. It brought me to mind of the Apostle Paul. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thinking about Paul and all that he went through. Life was not easy for Paul. And now if you remember Paul's life and his testimony, he did not get saved as a kid. I'm thankful that I was saved. I was 4.5 years old and realized I needed a Savior. That my sin, even as a 4-year-old, was sending me to hell. But that Jesus paid it all. Well, the Apostle Paul went through his childhood and he memorized the Old Testament, much of the Old Testament. He learned these as a man and he lived for what he thought was God. But he lived for religion. We sang this morning about true religion. Not just some actions that are done, even as the Apostle Paul was doing. Religion, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power especially a personal God or gods. The reality is we serve a personal God, not just some superhuman power out there. True religion. Well, the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he didn't have true religion. He had religion. He knew what he needed to do and what he shouldn't do and what had to get done and what he had to tell people to do, and persecuted the believers. But when he got saved, life didn't get easy. In fact, it got harder. He endured persecutions. He endured trials. In fact, he tells the church at Corinth many of the things that happened, shipwrecks and beatings and so many other things that went on in his life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, he's telling Timothy these truths. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's saying, Timothy, do this, stay faithful, keep your word in the middle of difficulties, because God blesses that. But he says also, because I've learned that I had to do that too. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. Life is going to get tough. There are going to be trials and temptations that we will experience even today, but that we can keep our commitment. God, I will live for you when life gets tough. Keeping our commitment to those around us and the word that we give. So we see that as I go through this week, I need to keep my commitments. And we saw really in Joshua 22 verses 1 through 9 that they were told they kept their commitments. And then there were blessings because they kept their commitments. Verse 5 of chapter 22, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. He's challenging them, still keep it. You've kept them all these years in these difficult times, but now you need to still keep your commitment. But take heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went under their tents. He was challenging them, as you go home, keep your commitments. Last Sunday we talked about worshiping, not just on Sunday, and the important aspect that worship must be every day and every part of my everyday. And this morning as we see this, they were to walk in his ways every day, not just in their time period of, this was my commitment of service. Again, we have different commitments of service at different aspects of church. Maybe you teach for so long, or you're involved in this ministry for so long, or this aspect of serving, or it's just this one project and you're going to serve and be involved in that. And we see those different aspects. But as we see life, we need to always walk in his way, always doing what God has told us to do, to keep our commitments. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we repented of our sin. We acknowledged my sin is evil. Jesus is the only way for that forgiveness. But we turn from our sin. We can't try to live a better life to earn salvation. But we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And keeping our commitments to God, I will walk in all your ways. As we go through this week to, yes, keep our commitments, but also keep my faith. Keep our faith. Here, as we saw that they left and they went on their way, they were blessed. There were different things that they were going to have, the raiment and the spoil of their enemies. Verse 9, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead. So they were going from the promised land to the inheritance they were given, they had asked, on the other side of the Jordan. Here they were meeting at Shiloh. And here they went.
which is in the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. They had it. They were already given it. It was distributed to them. Verse 10. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to what? War against them. So they hear say, they hear this rumor that, hey, these people have built an altar, and here we've just challenged them to keep their commitment, keep walking with God, and now they're building this altar, and what are they going to do in worshiping who? And God has told us not to worship other gods. They're concerned about this. What's going on? Are these people keeping their word and their commitment to walk with the Lord? One, I think we can be challenged with that God wants to use us to help others keep their commitments to the Lord. In love. Not ready to go fight them and, hey, you said you were going to do this. But in love, hey, how's this going? What's going on? I'm missing you. How you doing in that battle? I know you're fighting. And keeping that commitment, helping them keep that commitment. But here we see they needed to keep their faith. And here, as they went down, and the main part of the children of Israel, the congregation of the children of Israel, were getting ready to go to war against them. Verse 13, and the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, and to the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes, of each chief house a prince, throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was an head of the house of their fathers, among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, so they, before they're getting ready for this war, but before they do that, they send just a few individuals out. It reminds me when they went in to spy out the land originally, there were how many sent in? 12, right? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua sent some into the land, and he sure didn't send 12 because he learned he was one of only 2, so he shouldn't send 12. And God used him in that process. Well, here they're sending a representative saying, God is important. What is going on? They're dealing with this. We've heard. You ever heard something? And then you've made up your mind based on what you heard? That hearsay? Man, we can make a lot of decisions on that. But they can be hasty. And here are the children of Israel, where they are getting ready to go and really to destroy their fellow countrymen, their fellow men, children of Israel, because of their commitment to some false god. They were challenged to keep their faith. And here, as we continue down through this passage, and these 2.5 tribes explain what has gone on. Verse 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is it the iniquity of Peor too little for us? And they continue on challenging them. Hey, they're asking questions and dealing with this, keeping your faith. Really what they're saying is when they answer them, and we follow this along, they just simply are putting up reminders to worship God. Verse 10, And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to it. If we go down a little further, verse 21, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, so unto these representatives, the Lord God of gods, big G, the one true God of gods. There's a lot of small gods, small g gods, but there's no true God other than the Lord God of gods. They're saying, we acknowledge he is the Jehovah, he's the only one. The Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel, he shall know it. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. In other words, they're saying, If we're trying to turn away from God, destroy us, because we know what Deuteronomy, what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, or in what he taught there, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 through 16, to destroy even their own who turned against God, because God is the one true God. They said, so if this is what happens, destroy us. Verse 23, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben, the children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. They wanted to keep their faith by placing reminders to walk with God. One of the things that they were challenged to do in the book of Deuteronomy was to let Scripture be part of their life. From when they're lying down, getting up, walking about their house, on the doorposts of their house, on their body, making Scripture part of every aspect of life. That's how we can remember our faith and keep our faith. By putting that high priority in Scripture and remembering Scripture. Place reminders to walk with God. And yet here we're challenged to be careful what we use to help us remember to walk with God. That we don't give off the wrong impression that we're trying to serve some other God. But that we truly walk with God and place some reminders in our life. Make sure they're appropriate, not distracting to others. And yet we see previously the children of Israel set up memorials. Joshua chapter 3, they crossed over the Jordan River. The beginning of Joshua chapter 4, verses the first 9 or so verses of chapter 4, they were told to take up stones and to pile them as a memorial to the works of God. So in some ways, here these 2.5 tribes are saying, that's what we're doing. We're setting up a memorial. Well, they set up an altar. And they gave off the wrong impression of what they were trying to do. So again, being careful and cautious of what things we place in our lives. But we must place things in our life to help us remember to keep the faith. When is your time that you so walk ye in him every day? By going to the Word of God. Maybe making it part of your life. Maybe making it part of your house. Maybe whatever it may be, different tools that we can use to help us keep our faith by placing things to remember our walk with God. Not burying your Bible under everything. Maybe that's one way, keeping it out. I think, again, going to church, as we say, our regularly scheduled services, I think is an important aspect to help us as we place things in our life to help us remember the faith. Life gets tough. Praise God, Sunday, we can get together and remember God is good. Praise God, we can get together on Wednesday nights and be refreshed in the middle of the week and go on and be fruitful on Thursday. God is good. Place things in our life to help us remember to walk with God. And yet in the same regard, we see when we keep the faith, we've got these 2.5 tribes saying, we've just placed things to help us remember God and to help your kids not be against our kids saying, you guys don't know God. But here we have the rest of the tribes that are coming and they're standing for what's truth and what's right. Wait a second. There's one true God and we must worship him only. And they're ready to do what God has said to the point of them obeying God. And they were important to stand for the truth. God required purity. Deuteronomy 13, 12 through 16, specifically dealing with the children of Israel. Their own cities, their own people, when they turned away from God, consequences that were to be there. Again, we stand for the truth. We don't just get together and say, let's just all come and do whatever and we'll all call it praise and serving God. We talked about last week with the Levitical worship and the aspects that the priests and the other Levites had, that worship is important. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. And knowing what God's Word says. There are certain truths from God's Word that we teach. And that we believe. And that not everybody out there who says they go to church believe the same truth. We must stand for purity, even as a church. Careful what our Sunday school teachers teach. Careful what we teach in our Bible studies or in Bible studies that we may attend. Being involved, standing for truth. This is what God's word said. We don't have to be angry about it. Jesus said to be wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. They'll know you're my disciples by your love one toward another. But the reality that I must stand for truth. Not the I as in your pastor as much as I have to, but I as in each of us saying that statement. I must stand for truth. I must keep my faith. I must keep what God's word teaches. And sometimes that's awkward, confronting others in other situations. We need to keep our faith. We need to keep our commitments. But one more thing we need to keep this week is we need to keep our cool. You know, sometimes we think about that in life. Man, anybody else ever struggle keeping your cool? You know what I'm talking about. Your attitude and our anger and how we react and how we respond. To keep our cool. We see that in this passage. They needed to keep their commitment. And Joshua commended them for it. And they needed to keep walking with God. They needed to keep the faith. And they were putting things so that their next generation would keep the faith. By the way, did the next generation keep the faith? Yes or no? Man, we look at the book of Judges. And they did that which was right in their own. Not only these 2.5 tribes, but the whole nation of Israel turned from God. I mean, whoa! So as much as we can put things in place to help us remember to keep the faith, it's that daily train up a child in the way he should go. That daily process of teaching and training and why we teach Bible truth to our kids and not just get together and have fun. It's not babysitting time downstairs so you can listen. Wednesday night BLC program, the Truth Trackers program that we use, goes through Bible doctrine so our kids can learn some of these truths. And not just said, yeah, we go to church because that's what we do. That's a reminder to worship God. No, some practical things and teaching. These next generations, sure, they put some things in practice so they would remember, but they didn't. But in the midst of all of this, in the difficult situation going on, the confronting of what was supposed to be evil, and the defending of their actions and what they did, they kept their cool. And that's not easy to do. But again, it goes back to verse 5. And Joshua's challenging them, and he says, "And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out." I'm in chapter 23, no wonder it didn't look right. Chapter 22, verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, challenged you, to love the Lord your God and to what? Walk in all his ways." That's how you and I are going to keep our cool this week. I'm telling you, it is tough to keep my cool. Don't laugh, Hannah. I struggle with that. And yet, how do I need to do that? By walking in him. "As ye've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," what? "So walk ye in him." It's not just good enough for Sunday. But it's good enough for every day. And that's how when this big situation arose between the main part of the children of Israel and these 2.5 tribes, they could deal with this. What are some things to remember as we keep our cool throughout the week? I need to be careful how I respond to hearsay. A more modern word for hearsay? Gossip. Rumors. Man, we see that happening here in this aspect in chapter 22. Verse 10, "And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to." Verse 11, "And the children of Israel," what? "Heard say." They heard it. Man, I remember some things in life that I've heard. A commitment I've tried to make, and it's not always easy to keep, but a commitment I've tried to make is, if I've heard it and I don't know it, I need to either go to the source and find out the truth or just ignore it. And that, let me tell you, it's not always easy. I remember a situation a number of years ago was someone I had looked up to. And I had heard say that they were involved in something. They were involved in a music group and involved in some things that I just didn't think were biblical in the aspect they should have taken. And yet, it was important enough that, I mean, it was heard say a lot that I wanted to go to that individual and say, this is what I've heard. Now, when I called that individual and talked with them, granted, this person is my elder. They are my authority, if you will, at points of life. And when I called this individual, he assured me that everything I heard was true. And he believed it was right and biblical. And we had a conversation that day, agreeably. We ended up agreeing to disagree. And sadly, we parted ways. Never ended up talking with him since. Not because we're enemies, but we just went two separate ways. And already there was separation in life and in time. And there were two separate ways. Sadly, that dealt with my alma mater. And I remember early on, shortly after college, saying, okay, man, I'm thankful for all that God taught me at college, but I'm going to have to separate. But I had to go through, and I didn't want to just believe, well, that's it, we're going to go on and make decisions based on. We go to the truth. We go to the source. And that's what these children of Israel are doing. They're sending, what was it, Phinehas here, and the princes, 10 of the princes of the tribes there, they sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, verse 14, and with him 10 princes of each chief house. Why? Because it's important that they understand what's going on here. They didn't want to just believe this rumor or this gossip that was told them. They wanted to get to the bottom of it for multiple reasons. It gave opportunity for these 2.5 tribes to explain what they did and why they did it. Because the matter of fact was there was an altar. No arguing that. But they needed to get to the bottom of it. Why? So there could be a good relationship yet. Keeping our cool when it comes to dealing with things we've heard and hearsay. Being careful how we respond. So here's just some practical truths we can deal with as we go through these things in life. And as we battle this week, and you may hear stuff or whatever may go on. One, if I don't need to hear it, I can sometimes just stop someone and say, hey, that's not needed to be said. Does that please God? I don't want to hear that right now. That's not right. But two, as we see this, number one, when I hear things, I need to seek the truth. I need to seek the truth. So is it really true? Is it right? Is it what happened? Or is it just kind of perceived that way? How many times do you hear from someone, well, she looked at me wrong. She's mad. How do you know? She looked at me wrong. I was listening to a message on this yesterday, and the preacher said, well, maybe she was sneezing. Right? I mean, the reality is, we don't know why someone looked at us wrong. Wrong in whose eyes? Maybe they didn't realize their face was contorted. Right? I mean, we don't know what people may do. So I need to just seek the truth. I need to seek what God wants to be known. Jesus said, I am the way, the... When it comes to religion, we seek the truth. We look to who Jesus is through the Word of God. We seek the truth. We don't just go to some other book. We don't just go to some man and say, would you tell me what you think is truth? We go to the Word of God. And the same when it comes to gossip and rumors and things going on in life. I need to seek the truth. Number two, I need to ask questions. Verses 16 through 18, we see these 10 princes and Phinehas asking questions. They're not doing all this accusation. You did, you meant, you said. And yet, so often when we hear gossip or rumors, that's how we react and we respond, and we don't keep our cool. Well, here we see they're asking questions. Verse 16, look at all the questions they're asking. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? There's a question. What have you done? We're talking about following God. We just challenge you to keep your commitments, and you had kept your commitments for these 14 plus years. Verse 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord? Are you turning away from God? And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. You know what God has said? Again, we go back with the word of God, with the reality of dealing with these situations. Verse 19, notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then come over to our side. If this is what's going to happen and you're going to turn from God, just come back over here. We want you to do right. We want right to come out of this situation. Towards the end of verse 19, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Look at verse 20. I find this incredible. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. There were people who had the consequences with him. One, I find it interesting. Earlier here in chapter 22, what were they given? Raiment, money. What did Achan take? Raiment, money. He just couldn't wait. But here they're getting to the bottom. They're asking questions. When I hear stuff, I need to remember to seek the truth. I need to ask questions, going right to the source. Well, I heard through the grapevine. Let's not have there be a grapevine around your Rural Baptist Church. We hear something. Hey, is this true? If you have a problem with something I've said or done as pastor, would you come right to me? Pastor, did you mean it this way? I might not have meant to have a contorted face when I were talking to you one day. But questions. I need to seek the truth. I need to ask questions. Really, I need to give options. Here in verse 19, they're trying to solve the problem. Hey, if this is going to distract, why don't you just come with us? Instead of accusing, you're wrong and we're going to get you. I find it interesting. People who have a bad time at a restaurant, at a fast food restaurant or some other restaurant, do they still go out to eat at a restaurant? Yeah, sometimes even the same one. But people who have a bad time at church never go back to church anywhere. Why is God worth any less than a fast food restaurant? And so we see the reality of dealing with this. Asking questions, seeking the truth, asking questions, giving the options. Hey, come on, let's help. Let's deal with this. Let's help fix this problem. Because problems arise. Interpersonal relationships are tough. Do you have a relationship? You know it's tough then. Takes work. And give warning. Hey, they're giving this warning. Hey, we want you to live for God. We know what is going to happen. We want you to be right with God. As Colossians says, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. Let's grow in God and giving the warnings. Hey, but what I find very interesting is as these 10 princes and Phinehas went to deal with this gossip and this rumor, this hearsay, what then happened? And verses 21 through 29, they listened. They didn't just go with the accusing finger and say, you're wrong, you did it, and I'm not even going to listen to what you have to say. But they listened. Whether it was whatever they were going to say, right or wrong, or their motives were right or wrong. We know their motives were right and pure. In fact, Phinehas decides, hey, this is right. And war was abated. Relationships were kept. Sadly, relationships can't always be kept. We can do our best to try, but we're only one party. But God says as much as lies within you to live what? Peaceably with all men. So here, they sought the truth. They asked the questions. They gave the options and the warning, and they listened. So as I'm dealing with hearsay, I then need to be cautious how I react to a response. Someone might respond wrong, and here's this whole congregation of the children of Israel ready to go to war. What have these 2.5 tribes said? Forget you. We want nothing to do with you. You're accusing us and our motives and what's going on. Wait, they didn't react to that response that way. You think we'd turn away from God all these 14 years we fought? They didn't do that. They kept their cool. And they responded, verses 21 through 29. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day." They said, "We have done this to place reminders to walk in him and to grow in him." They listened when someone came to them with a concern and a problem. And it may not have been right. These 10 princes and Phinehas, man, they were asking questions, but saying, "Hey, it looks like this is what's going on here." They listened when someone came to them with a concern. It's not always easy to do that, is it? Man, it's tough. I struggle with that. Am I going to listen? Or is my flesh just going to get going? You're accusing me of what? Listening when someone comes with a concern. They answered without anger. Verses 21 through 29, we really see that throughout this section here. Verse 28, "Therefore said we that it shall be, when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle." And verse 30, man, this problem is abated. These people listened with a concern, these 2.5 tribes. They listened when someone came with a concern. They answered without anger. They were ready to make peace. And Phinehas and the men were as well. We see that in verses 30 through 33. Phinehas said, and the princes of the congregation, they said, verse 31, "And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is," where? "Among us. Because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord, now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes, returned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again." They sought the truth, and then they shared that truth. And what happened? Verse 34, "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God." Both sides went on with life, and they had a relationship. Sadly, the next generation did not follow God, but they dealt with life. How are you and I going to deal with life? It's tough. It's not always easy. I need to keep my commitments. I need to keep the faith. I need to keep my cool. Not always easy, but it's possible as we walk with God. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you would help us today to walk with you. God, would you help us to let you change us? Thank you for the example that we have with these children of Israel here today. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.